Episode 351, dated Friday, March 15th, 2024.
You are listening to the In Perspective weekly podcast with Bob Branco and Peter O'Toole.
Hello, everybody, and welcome once again to In Perspective. My name is Bob Branco. Glad to be here today for episode 351, dated Friday, March 15th, 2024. Yes, I know. Beware the Ides of March. Before we continue, I believe Peter O'Toole just arrived on the scene, if I'm not mistaken. Peter, are you there?
I am here. It's spring fever here. It's 70 degrees and sunny and beautiful, and we are just thrilled to be in Coos Bay when it's not raining.
Yeah, I know you've had a lot of bad weather this winter, but it's typical of the northwestern part of the country.
It absolutely is. But
they call that an atmospheric river, if I'm not mistaken.
We've had several of them, but we're having a string of really nice weather until like next Wednesday. So we're celebrating.
Fantastic. Before we continue with our guests, let me thank those people who make it possible for In Perspective to be aired. We have Raymond Gay, our producer. We have Tom and Lynn from Rosie's Place Chatline. Thank you for posting our shows. We have the media outlets. Thank you for airing our shows when you do. We appreciate that very much. And also Jacqueline Sylvia from JS Web Solutions. Thank you very much for archiving In Perspective shows on my website. For those who want to check out the archives, go to www.brancoevents.com. Arrow down until you get to In Perspective Podcasts. Click on them, and you will definitely catch most of our archived programs from latest to earliest.
Mel C, Jackie.
I also want to thank Cindy for being our host for today's program. Thank you, Cindy, for taking the time to be with us today. We appreciate it. And, of course, Chanel is here as well. I believe she's mainstreaming on ACB Media 5. And because we are mainstreamed on that platform, let me give out my email address for those people who are listening on that platform and not knowing how to reach In Perspective. It's bobbranco93@gmail.com. That's bobbranco, B-O-B-B-R-A-N-C-O, 93@gmail.com. And I also want to say hi to a faithful listener who wrote in supporting our show again. That would be Beth Roth. Thank you so much for taking the time to write to us. About 2 months ago, we had Morgan White Jr. on our program, and we had a great discussion about television programs, sitcoms, game shows, and all that goes with that topic. We've decided to bring Morgan back for another dimension that he's famous for, and that would be trivia. I've listened to trivia on WBZ in Boston, where Morgan has a show, and I thought that we would bring it to In Perspective for some change of scenery. So, Morgan, first of all, thank you for coming back. We appreciate it.
Bob, thank you for inviting me. Happy to be here.
All right. So
before we get started, Morgan.
Hi, Peter.
The password is snitch.
We had a discussion about that last time. I don't know if you want me to go into it now, but
I think you've aroused my curiosity a little bit. So if you want to mention it briefly, go ahead, Morgan.
I do trivia on anything and everything, and because of the popularity of Harry Potter a couple of decades ago, I read a couple of the books and watched a couple of the movies and realized I had a trivia question that could merge the muggles, that's everyday people, with the wizards, the world of Harry and his colleagues. They play a game called Quidditch, which is basically like hockey on flying broomsticks. Instead of a puck, they use a thing called the snitch.
Oh.
And I figured I'd come up with a good question. In the world of muggles, this word snitch is a verb. In the world of wizards, the word snitch is a noun. And just to take us all back to third grade, a verb is a word that depicts action. A noun is a word that involves the name of a person, place, or thing. And Peter, was it you that I had the exchange about that question?
You did. It was with me, and it stuck with me ever, it stuck with me ever since.
And I asked Peter, what is that item from the world of Harry Potter? In the world of wizards, it is a noun. In the world of muggles, everyday common people, it is a verb. And all those out there, especially if you had siblings, and especially if they were younger than you, if something went wrong, you did something naughty or bad, or maybe not even bad, but you committed a transgression of some sort, your younger brother and or sister would snitch on you. They would tell mom and dad, it was Peter who broke the lamp. And again, in the world of wizards, the snitch is the ball or the object that you're chasing on your broomstick when you're playing that game.
The snitch is the squealer.
Yes, there you go.
So before we get started, I'm sorry, go ahead, Morgan.
Yeah, the squealer in your family. And let me, Bob and I have already set up rules for anybody who's going to call in. You can call in and ask a trivia question on anything. The five major trivia subjects are music, movies, sports, TV, and general information. Those are the five. And if you want to talk the Civil War, if you want to speak about the geography of the United States, if you want to delve into Shakespeare, if you want to pick the old TV show F Troop, all is fair in love and trivia. And you call in, ask me a question. There are no prizes. This is just the prize of pride that you stumped the trivia guy, me.
Bragging rights.
Bragging rights. Nicely put. So if you stump me, and I will ask you a question back in whatever subject you choose. It could be the subject you pick, or it could be another subject. And you answer my question to you, you got bragging rights. You can say, I was on the radio and I stumped this trivia guy. Yay. And there you go.
Okay. Before we get started, I do have a request from a listener who wanted to be here, and he sent me an email with a question. Unfortunately, he didn't give me the answer. I got a feeling he wants to know the answer, and he'll be listening later on. So, Henry, this is for you. I know you wanted me to ask Morgan this question.
Okay.
So Morgan, Henry wants to know, how come Mr. Ed could only be understood by Wilbur? I don't have the answer. Do you?
Of course I do.
Okay. Why is it that only Wilbur can communicate with Mr. Ed, but nobody else?
Wilbur was just about to purchase the house that came with a barn, and in the barn was a horse. And Wilbur is lamenting about the old days when he was a kid. And the key line is, and this is the word for word key line, Wilbur says, and he's talking to himself out loud, you know, it's been a long time since I was a boy. And Mr. Ed speaks, it's been a long time since I was a pony. And Wilbur looks around to see who said that. It's Mr. Ed's choice to only reveal himself to Wilbur. Now, he did talk in front of others, but they always went to great lengths to use their own little magic. For an example, Mr. Ed had a song that he recorded, The Pretty Little Filly with the Ponytail. And they set up the recording equipment in the barn. The engineer, was off premises somewhere in the house. I don't know. But they recorded Mr. Ed singing this song. It became a hit on the radio. So here's Mr. Ed singing a song, The Pretty Little Filly with the Ponytail, and no one knew it was a horse. They made people think it was Wilbur. So there's an example. Mr. Ed didn't want to talk to anybody else but Wilbur. It was Mr. Ed's choice. And we all know that TV show was loosely based on the movies with Donald O'Connor, Francis the Talking Mule. And it's the same circumstance. The mule would only talk to Donald O'Connor. Ta-da! Oh. I'm done.
No, thank you. Now, on that note, just one more quick thing. The theme song, A Horse is a Horse, Of Course, Of Course.
And who wrote that? Who wrote it?
Who wrote that theme?
I don't know, but I know the gentleman who supplied the voice to Mr. Red was an actor named Rocky Lane, L-A-N-E.
Rocky Lane?
Yeah.
Sounds like many streets in my city. They're all Rocky Lanes.
Well, that's what you get for living on the West Coast.
Well, no, I live on the East Coast.
Oh, okay.
Peter lives on the West Coast.
Okay.
I didn't used to, though. I'm an East Coast guy at heart. At least right now I am.
All right.
Okay, so we're going to take some raised hands. So, Cindy, if anybody wants to ask a question, they're going to raise their hand. And when they do, you can identify who it is, and they can ask Morgan a question. And then Morgan can, you know, do what he does for them. And
I'm ready.
I'm ready, Cindy.
All right.
Bob, are you there?
I'm here.
Okay. All right, Cindy.
Yes, sir.
Do we have hands raised?
Yes, you do.
Let's do it.
Okay. Oh, wow. Yes. All right. David, go ahead and unmute. You're up.
David, you are first up today.
Hello, David.
Come on, David, you can do it.
David.
I'll give him a few seconds and then I'll go to the next one and come back.
Yep.
That might not be a bad idea.
And if you haven't hit the okay to, because of the recording, you have to do that. What I'll do is let's go to number two. And he's already. Paul, go ahead.
Hey, Paul.
This is a two-part question.
Thank you, Paul.
In a Western movie, Rio Bravo, there were two singers that starred in that movie. So my two-part question is, what were the name of the two singers that acted in that movie? And what was the title of the one song that they sang in that movie?
Let's see. I think you're talking about Ricky Nelson. Eric was his first name. So everyone knew he was Ricky Nelson, but a lot of people forgot his real first name was Eric, and some guy named Dean Martin.
Ah.
And it was Get Along Little Dogies.
Long Little Dogie, Get Along. I guess it could have been. And they sang, not fourth part of the same song, but My Rifle, My Pony, and Me.
Okay.
So maybe there were two songs in that movie, and so I would have had misinformation.
There were two songs in that movie, and My Rifle, My Pony, and Me was one, and Get Along was the other.
Right. Yeah. Great movie, and I think they both did a good acting job in that movie.
And what was the other movie that basically was the same story, but instead of Dean Martin, it starred Robert Mitchum with John Wayne.
You got me. I have no idea.
Tell you what, we'll leave that one out there. Anybody who's listening right now to the show, and if you're a John Wayne fan, that's an easy one. Same plot line up and down from beginning to end.
I have no clue either.
I'm not a John Wayne guy, so I have no clue either. But maybe somebody else will know in our audience, our vastly talented audience.
And that's why I left it out there.
That's good.
And when you do trivia, there are certain things you have to know about. You have to know Star Trek. You have to know Gilligan's Island. You have to know the lore of Lucy. You have to know I'm talking movies and TV. You have to know those subjects backwards and forwards. And it just goes with the territory. And that's why I figured there would be people listening who were John Wayne fans, and they would get that.
Thank you, Paul.
Paul, thank you.
You're welcome.
Feel free to come back if
you
want.
My pleasure, and thank you. And thank you for the information.
You're very welcome.
All right, Cindy.
Keep listening. Somebody will get that.
Okay, David is now unmuted. Go ahead, David.
You can hear me?
Yes, I can hear you, okay. David. How are you?
Pretty good. I got tangled up in the button. Did your guest say that he can do general knowledge trivia?
Yes, he did.
Okay, let me see if I can state this right. The gemstone Heliodor, which is in the mineral family beryl, is not green as its relative emerald is. What is generally its color?
Well, I do know that some stones of that ilk have a reddish hue.
That would be bixbite, which is now known as red beryl. But I'll keep going.
Okay, well, you've exhausted my knowledge.
Yellow or gold?
Yellow or gold.
Yes.
Well, would you like a stone question back?
I can try.
All right. What's the most common rock found on planet Earth?
Let me see. That could be. Oh, boy. See, I'm thinking all these high-class gems, and you're going back down to Earth for me.
Mm-hmm.
That could be the most common rock found on Earth. It's obviously not igneous, metamorphic, or sedimentary. What about basalt?
No, you were right. When you eliminated igneous, you should not have.
Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, okay. Igneous in general.
By the fact that you mentioned igneous rock, that proves you know a bit about the subject, and I'm going to give you credit, even though you said
thank you.
Not igneous.
Well, I like petrology, P-E-T-R-O-L-O-G-Y, and mineralogy, and gemology, and all the other O-L-O-G-Y words.
Well, then there you go. You stumped me, and I stumped you.
Yeah, we're even.
So actually, to both of you, the real answer to that rock question that Morgan asked is Kid Rock, of course.
Of course.
Of course.
Sure.
You gotta go to Detroit to find that, though.
That's true.
He did conquer the world,
you know, what, 10 years ago or so?
15 years? A little bit longer, ago? Yeah.
Yeah.
About
yeah.
10, 15 years, that sounds right.
Yeah. So I think that is the true answer to that question.
He combined Werewolves of London with Sweet Home Alabama in a clever way.
Yes, he did indeed.
Thank you, David.
Sure thing.
Thanks for the call.
Thank you.
Anybody else, Cindy?
Checking. Okay, Chanel does not have anybody in Clubhouse yet. Watching for her hand. One.
We do a hand?
And no, we don't have anybody yet.
Okay, just let us know when we do.
Oh, I will.
I've got an easy question. General information.
Got one.
Oh, good.
Oh, we got a call? Okay.
That Bye. Always happens. Sorry. Okay, Missy, you're up.
Okay. You probably know this, and so I'm not trying to stump you. You reminded me of Francis the Talking Mule, and I loved those movies. So yeah. Who did the voice of the mule? Do you know anything about the mule?
Chill Wills.
Oh.
Who was a well-known character actor, 40s, 50s into the 60s. He did a couple of movies, usually in a Western motif, and he was the voice of Francis the Talking Mule. Anything else?
I remember Donald O'Connor asked Francis, what can I do for you? And Francis said, you can get off my foot or something like that. I can't remember that. It was funny anyway. Thank you.
You're welcome.
You could ask me a question. I would love to see if you could stump me. I'm sure you could.
Do you want it on Chill Wells or Mules or Donald O'Connor or what?
Donald O'Connor.
You want a Donald O'Connor question?
Mm-hmm.
And let me ask this. Name the movie where you see Donald O'Connor, a female and a male, singing a well-known song. Good morning. Good morning.
Yeah.
It's great to stay up late. Good morning. Good morning to you. See, I don't sing for my living. That's why I try not to sing.
Well, that's not with Mickey Rooney and Judy,
Garland? No.
Yeah, Garland, is it?
Mm-mm.
Okay. You stumped. Okay. Who is it? Good morning.
Does anybody out there know?
I'm afraid not.
I have no clue. Not my expertise at all.
Bob, I'll leave it up to you. Like I did with the El Diablo. Oh, great morning. Oh, my good.
Singing in the Rain.
Yes, it was Singing in the Rain. And I was about to say, like I did with the previous Western question, where the answer was El Diablo. I said that because I wanted to leave that open. And now, Bob, let me ask what I was about to put to you.
Go right ahead.
Do I answer the questions that I throw to people if they can't answer it right then, or do I leave it open for people listening that might want to call in?
Well, I think that it would be, I think that if you left it open and other people might want to try for the answer, that would be wonderful.
All right. Well, we'll start now. So we've established Singing in the Rain. We've established El Diablo, not to be confused with Rio Bravo. So when people ask me to give them a question from now on, I wait to the end of the show to give the answers to whatever questions that we have yet to divulge their response.
Sounds good to me. Peter, did you have a question? I thought maybe you were about to ask more.
I did, but before I do that, I'm going to make sure there are no hands up.
Yes, we have three hands up.
Let's do it.
Yeah. Okay, New Mexico Beth, go ahead.
New Mexico Beth. Yes.
Hello, Beth.
Come on, Beth. I know she knows how to unmute.
Hello, Beth.
Beth is a veteran.
There she is. She's up.
Okay. I wanted to ask the trivia question. How is gypsum produced?
Oh, Mr. Forsythe's going to be mad at me. He was my earth science teacher in ninth grade, and I don't know how you make gypsum. I'll be honest. I don't know. Tell me. Caller, are you there?
I don't know either. I think they do something with glass to it, but okay. I thought maybe you know. Not glass. It looks like glass. That's why the white sands are white.
Okay. Hmm. Well, what do you want me to ask you back? You want another gem-related question or a particular bit of history, geography, movies, TV?
Yeah, a bit of history. A bit of history would be cool.
All right, this is ironic. Name the first state to secede from the Union and the last state. And when you hear the answers, you're going to say, gee, irony.
The first state and the last?
This was the first state to say, we are not a member of the United States anymore, and I want the last state to say that. And let me help you. They abut each other.
That's what I thought.
They what?
They're next to each other.
Oh. They're attached. There are 13 states that form the Confederate States of America.
Yes, I know. I know that. Was one of them North Carolina?
I'll help you. That was the last state. So what was the first state?
South Carolina.
You got the right answers. Way to go. I'm proud of you.
All right, Beth.
And then I knew Texas was somewhere in there too, though. Well, Texas is its own republic.
It was, and the Mexicans back in those days had a little problem with Texas not staying with Mexico, and come around 1826, they had a bit of a skirmish down there at the Alamo.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, just a minor one.
1846, I think.
Not that late.
And now Texas
is... Yeah,
1826.
1846 was when
1836.
We got admitted to statehood.
Yeah, okay. There you go.
And now Texas is thinking of seceding again. So you never know.
Texas is always, Texas has had in their doctrine that they could apply for separate recognition and leave the United States.
How many other states do you know of, Morgan, that has that law?
Well, I know Puerto Rico, which isn't a state, but they're part of the United States. They have something in their paperwork that allows them to at least consider that. But I don't think any state would ever want to do that. I could be wrong, but I don't think any state would ever want to secede from the Union.
Well, Texas is certainly making a lot of noise, but I think it's mostly noise. Thank you, Beth.
We have three hands, and we'll go to Chanel and Clubhouse.
Yes, in Clubhouse, we have Janet Wright.
Knew it.
Hello, Janet. Where is Clubhouse?
Hello. Clubhouse is an app, actually.
Oh, okay.
We're connecting Zoom and Clubhouse together so more people get the benefit of a call.
Okay.
Hi, Janet.
Hello, Bob, Peter. Okay. What commercials did Bill Cosby do, Morgan?
Oh, please. Bill Cosby did Jell-O. Bill Cosby did Coke. Bill Coca-Cola. Let me make that clarification
real fast.
Bill Cosby did one of the breakfast cereals at Fat Albert.
Right.
Are those the answers you want, or do you have another one?
Those are the answers that I wanted.
All right.
Did you do one for Little Green Giant, or am I imagining something?
I do not think Bill Cosby did Little Green Giant.
Okay, then I probably
Morgan, wasn't it Jell-O pudding that Bill Cosby
did?
Yeah,
wasn't it?
Yeah,
Jell-O pudding.
Jell-O pudding and Jell-O, both.
And Jell-O, yep. I remember those, but I don't remember the other, the Coca-Cola or Fat Albert ones.
They used him in a big way for Coca-Cola when Coca-Cola experimented with tweaking the flavor of Coca-Cola. And they called it New Coca-Cola.
And
they quickly went back to leaving the appreciated taste and formula of Coca-Cola alone. You know, they did Diet Coke, and that was sufficient. They didn't need to tweak any more taste. Now, what sort of question would you like me to ask you?
What do you know about Trapper John M.D.?
Trapper John M.D., what did he call his trailer?
Oh.
He had a trailer.
Yeah, he had a trailer, yep.
Parked outside of the hospital where he was employed. Yep. And that's where he lived. And he liked to be close in case of an emergency or giving a patient extra care instead of living 2, 3, 4 miles away. He was right there. And he had a very unusual name for his trailer. And I'm going to help you. If you think of 1912's biggest news story, that's a huge hint. What was the biggest news story in the world in 1912? And I'm not talking about Fenway Park being christened.
I've seen the show so many times. I need to go rewatch it. I can't remember.
It spawned a movie.
I know the answer, but I'll wait for you to tell us.
The incident in 1912 spawned a major motion picture. There were
the Titanic.
That's what he called.
Yeah, there you go.
There you go. See, I give hints.
Yes, thank you very much. Yep.
You got it. Thank you for the call. Bye-bye.
Bye.
You too. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Chanel. Whoever that
Anybody
was.
Anybody else?
Oh, that was Janet. And
thank you, Janet. Sorry. My error. Thank you, Janet.
No, it's just fine. Okay, Nora, you're up.
Hi, Nora.
Hi.
Hello, Nora.
Hi. I'm going to ask a general question. How many states became united? How many states came into the union in 1918?
In 1918?
Yeah.
All right. Well, most of the states were already settled. And I know Arizona became officially a state late because the paperwork didn't get signed. So I'll say one, Arizona.
Pretty much it. Yeah. Well, Arizona became a state in 1912.
Okay. So I was wrong about Arizona. What's the answer?
1912.
Oh, what? So I was right when I said Arizona.
Yeah, you got the right state.
You said, Nora, you said 1918. Was there a state that entered the union in 1918?
I don't know of any except for.
I think as you phrased the question, you made a mistake.
Yeah, I did.
Arizona earned its statehood in 1912.
Right. I think I may have misphrased it.
As did New Mexico.
Oh, okay. New Mexico. Uh-huh.
In 1912?
Well, I'll tell you, would you like a question like that back?
Yeah, please.
What state became a state on Halloween in 1861?
Oh, 1861.
Yeah, 1861, probably. And it's a state west of the Mississippi.
Okay, California?
No, it's not California.
It's a next door neighbor of California. It's Nevada.
Interesting.
Oh, Nevada. Oh, okay.
Yep.
Nevada, 1861. Wow.
Yep. All right. Well, thank you for calling.
It is kind of weird.
You fooled me. I thought it was West Virginia.
No.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Nora.
And I want to say this. Peter may know this. Bob may know this. I don't cheat. I don't have a book or any other item that can give me an answer. I'm sure if I had a computer, I could hit a few buttons and answer every question you people call in with. I either know it or I don't know it. So
right.
Just to make everybody aware of that.
Right.
Thanks for letting us know. We knew that, but thanks for letting us know anyway.
Yeah, for the callers.
Right.
Any all other right. hands?
Any?
No, sir, not yet.
No more callers?
No. You got a lot of people on here, but I'm here to tell you,
Well, I'm going to ask a question.
You know, I'm going to tell you, as soon as I say this, somebody always puts their hand.
Now, I see a photo with three women, and the one in the middle is wearing a red coat. Is that one of our females that are part of the show? Guys?
I have no idea.
Neither do I. I don't know.
That's a host.
Somebody's
question.
Got a video going. I don't know who it would be, so it's hard to say.
Do you have any idea who that might be?
All right, never mind.
So, let me throw a question out to you, Morgan.
Mm-hmm.
And think of the word meals, M-E-A-L-S.
Mm-hmm.
It's an anagram for a state capital. What's the state capital?
An anagram for state capital meals. It's only five letters.
Ah, I got it.
I
got
it. Well,
but I'll
let
Morgan
it?
Answer.
What is it?
You want me to
say? Oregon.
Duh. all right, then tell you what.
It's the only
go ahead, the Morgan. The state over Salem, Oregon. Give me that state's capital.
You're asking Peter?
I believe it's Olympia.
Olympia, Washington. Very good.
Yeah. I believe it's Olympia.
I have one for you, Morgan.
Okay.
Get smart. We all know that their numbers were 86 and 99.
Correct.
Obviously, we know that those were not their names. We know that 86's name was Maxwell Smart. What was 99's name?
Allegedly, Susan Hilton.
There you go. We found that out during their wedding.
Yes. And they also disavowed that in a later episode. She said that was just a code name for her real name, and then they never divulged.
So Susan Hilton was not her character name at all?
Within the world of Maxwell Smart, it was a nom de plume, a fake name, according to her. Now, I've interviewed Barbara Feldon a number of times, and she has mentioned that on the air with me, that everybody thinks Susan Hilton was her real name, but they gave information that said that was just a code name that she used, I guess, to fool people. She, 99.
Interesting. Well, so Maxwell wasn't a code name.
No, that was his name, Maxwell Smart. Maxwell Smart, Secret Agent 86. Would you believe that we have no calls right now?
Well, just hold on. As soon as you say that, somebody's bound to raise their hand.
Somebody's about to raise their hand.
All you want to come back, you can come back if you've already called. Might as well come back.
I've got a question for everybody, and it's an easy question. You know, there are 13 stripes on the flag. Now, are the top stripe and the bottom stripe, are they both red? Are they both white? Or is one red and one white?
Both red.
Both red.
I applaud you. Very good.
because I learned that there were 7 red and 6 white, and the only way that they can be organized that way is if the top and bottom ones were red.
Very good.
Very nice. Very nice. So, Morgan, last year and this year they're doing the same thing. SiriusXM is having a top 1,000 countdown of the top songs sung by women artists over the past 50 years. So starting at approximately 1974 to today. What is your guess as to what the number one song is for a sung by a woman artist?
In the past 50 years?
Past 50 years.
I'm looking at Billboard, not physically, but I'm thinking Billboard.
Right.
And I'm thinking of the women that have had 8, 9, 10 weeks at the top of the Billboard chart. Like, Let's Get Physical, Olivia Newton-John.
Right.
Or Betty
Davis Eyes.
Betty Davis Eyes. You Light Up My Life by Debbie Boone.
Would they count Endless Love, the duet, Diana Ross and Lionel Richie? That was 9 weeks, I think.
I don't think that would count because
it was a duet.
The duet. Yeah. Male, female duet. So I don't think that counts.
So I'm probably going to go with You Light Up My Life, Debbie Boone, just to say something.
So the answer that was on SiriusXM, and I don't guarantee this is accurate because I don't know how they came up with their numbers, is How Could I Live Without You by Leanne Rimes.
Okay.
Which was also a huge hit. Yeah. 97. And I was really surprised that that was it. All the songs you mentioned were the top 10, as I remember, but that was the number one song. And the thing that really surprised me the most, if you think about this, right? They do the top 1,000 songs. And so how many of the songs? I'm a reasonably smart music guy, pop music guy. I didn't know, which is to my ear sort of talks about how undersourced women were when it comes to like being promoted and stuff like that. You know, they're just men rule the universe in music for many, many years. And that's changing in a major way with Taylor Swift and other people floating around over the past 3 or 4 years. But up until I'll say the past 10 years ago, I'm guessing, and maybe I'm wrong, it was primarily a male thing.
I would think primarily males dominated the music charts. But females had their own inroads. Think of somebody like Connie Francis.
Right.
She had more top 10 hits than anybody, even through the 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s into the 21st century. And I'm trying to think of other women.
Madonna?
Madonna left a huge mark on, again, I keep saying
Whitney Houston, Mariah Carey.
Yeah, all those people, absolutely. Those people, yeah.
Oh, there were dominant women on the charts out there. But overall, more men, because you've got more men producers. You've got more male-owned record companies, and they're the ones who decide who gets a microphone in front of them.
I hate to interrupt you, but you have a wraith tan.
We welcome them very much. Thank you for interrupting.
Okay,
Moosey, you're up.
I wanted to say, how about Rosemary Clooney and Peggy Lee? The women in the 40s were very popular.
They were very popular, but they didn't have the staying power of like a woman like Madonna or Taylor Swift or Beyonce. And I loved Peggy Lee and her song Fever. I wanted to come up to my house listening to Rosie Clooney singing that song.
Right.
And those songs are favorites of mine. Mm-hmm. Yet and still, I am not a barometer of what music is or should be or isn't. Mm-hmm. But you mentioned some favorites of mine just now.
Well, can I ask you, I'm sure you know, what was the song Peggy Lee sang in The Lady and the Tramp?
He's a tramp.
Yeah.
And they love him. Breaks a new heart every day. Yeah. He's a tramp. And I need him. And this is what I have to say. And you want to know something unusual about Peggy Lee?
Yes.
She had in her contract with Walt Disney, and her contract was given to her by Walt Disney. Here, sign this, read it, and all that. She said, if you make any money off my songs that I'm doing for you on any new medium that's yet to be invented, you were to pay me accordingly. So there were no videotapes in the 50s when Leaving the Tramp came out.
Wow.
But by the 70s, when there were videotapes and the Disney people were smart to put all their product out there, she had to take them to court and won because they didn't want to pay her. But she won. Smart businesswoman to make that part of her deal. And okay. I'm going to end by saying this. Is that all there is?
That's all there is.
No, because you have another hand up.
All right, go ahead.
Okay, David, you're up.
I was just going to make a comment and ask a question. The comment was, don't forget Barbra Streisand for women, Donna Summer, Cher.
Oh, yeah.
And there are many
great examples.
Dolly Parton.
Female singers.
Oh, definitely.
Many great examples. For every female example, a Dolly Parton, a Cher. Cher's career is much longer than Dolly Parton's because it goes back to the 60s.
From 65 to a Christmas song, 2000.
No, 2024. She had a Christmas song this year, 2023. And Cher is a great example, but you can come up with 10 men for every solo female artist. You say, you just mentioned Barbara Streisand. You just mentioned Cher. You just mentioned Bette Midler. You can come up with 10 men per name because there are just simply more solo male artists than female artists. There are some great female artists, but there are more solo male artists by count.
Goodness. You think about all the male groups, right? The Beatles and the Rolling Stones and
I
don't know if that counts or not, but you know, you have all these male groups that Jonas Brothers and all those groups.
You've got more male groups than you have female groups.
Right.
And in the 60s, 50s and 60s, you had a plethora of female groups.
Shangri-La's,
the Shirelles. Yes.
The Crystals, the Chiffons, the Cookies.
The Shirelles, the Teddy Bears were mixed, I think.
They were mixed.
Marvelettes.
The Velvelettes. The Supremes. The Velvelettes.
Yeah. The 3 Degrees. You had tons of female groups.
The Dixie Cups.
But you always had more male groups. You always had more male solo artists than female solo artists. Just by the sheer number. Either way. Whether you're talking groups or solo artists.
I'd like to make an observation, Morgan. Speaking of music from the 70s and 80s, to me, the group with the most mixed culture that I can think of, and what I mean by mixed culture is co-ed, male and female members, and international. And that group is Fleetwood Mac.
There you go. Gee, I wonder if the rumors about them were true. I'm sorry. I had to throw them in there.
I'm not going to nix that one.
Oh, very good.
Very good, Bob. Yeah.
Don't tell me sweet little lies then.
I'll try not to.
And I had a Gilligan's Island question. Dawn Wells. What was in her contract that made her stand out from the rest? She did something to get her.
Are you there?
Oh.
Did we lose you,
David?
Lost him. There he is.
Are you back, David? Or not?
You're muted, David. Somehow you got muted.
Did she do something to get residuals from the episodes and the rest didn't?
I doubt that. If you know, tell me. Because I interviewed Dawn Wells 3 times. I interviewed her a year before she passed on. Because she passed on two and a half years ago. I don't know what that contract codicil was. What was it? David?
No, he keeps muting himself.
Dawn Wells.
What were you asking me? She played Marianne.
Yep.
And of course, the professor was Russell Johnson, maybe, or Roy,
correct.
Somebody. Roy was his real, his
statement. Roy Hinckley was the character name.
That's yes. it. They said everything he said was true, that Sherwood Schwartz, I think, who also did the Brady Bunch, said that anything that came out of the professor's mouth was true, was accurate.
Okay. I once interviewed simultaneously Sherwood Schwartz, Alan Hale, and Bob Denver.
Jeez.
All at once.
That was the skipper, right?
Yeah, and then Bob Denver was Gilligan.
Yep. Yes. That was a fun afternoon.
I bet it was. The professor died in the summer of 2014, I think.
Yeah.
Is Relatively Ginger the only recent. Person, the only survivor left?
Tina Louise.
I think she is, and she does everything she can
to not do it. She just hates
avoid
it.
Avoid Gilligan's Island conversations.
Hates it.
Her agent, way back in 1963 or 64, when they were just putting that show together, told her that she was the lead. Her character was the character. All the action would revolve around her. And as we all know, even though the show's named Gilligan's Island, that her character as the movie star was going to be the main character. And that was nothing but agent hype. And she was very disappointed after the first couple of episodes to find out that they did not live up to what she was told. But what are you going to do? And that's why when they had like four TV movies and they had Gilligan's Planet, the cartoon show, she wanted nothing to do with any of that.
Interesting.
So, yeah. Okay.
Interesting. Okay.
Any
David,
more
thank you. Anybody sure. else?
No, not yet.
Yeah. Okay. So let's try this one along the lines I gave you before. Think of a state capital that anagrammed is R.I.P. Let me make sure I get this right. R.I.P. R.R.E. R.I.P. Hold on. I got to get this right. R.I.P.
You got to give me the right information.
Yeah, I do. I had this right, and then I lost it naturally.
Two E's in there, Peter. Two E's and another R.
That's right.
Exactly.
And you have All 9 minutes, guys.
Thank you.
Okay. All right. Just wanna...
Spell that again.
Okay,
R-I-P
got a hand.
R-I-P-E-R.
E-E-R.
E-E-R. R-I-P. E-E-R.
Pierre.
There you go. And that's the capital of what state?
You South want to take Dakota. The hand, guys?
Just want to finish this question.
Yeah. So you're South right, Dakota. Morgan. It was yeah. South Dakota.
I screwed up. Sorry, I shouldn't have organized.
Okay, Cindy.
All right, Deborah, go ahead.
Hi, Deborah.
Here. Hello. Morgan, I just wondered, what was Judy Garland's real name?
This
Frances Gum.
Yeah. Yes.
Apparently the one that she changed it to Judy Garland.
Yeah, really. Yeah. She had a really rough life, I guess. There's a book about her. I can't remember the name of the book.
There's several books about her. Yeah, you want to know what?
They were rough on those child stars back then, working them hard.
She was a star.
Yeah.
And it's a shame her life took the curves that it took.
Yeah, I know.
She was a true star.
Yeah.
And boy, did that song fit her life.
Yeah.
She's singing that song at 16. But it fit her life all the way up to the day she died.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Somewhere over the rainbow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yep.
She sang it with such pathos at such a young age, right?
I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
It really was a remarkable. I knew she was young. I didn't realize how young she was. It really is an amazing thing. It reminds me sort of of Michael Jackson when he was singing some of his earlier stuff that a lot of people are saying he had that sort of soulful sort of plaintive, I'm not sure what the right word is, that sort of served him really well later in his life, you know, and it sort of foreshadowed what was to come somehow or something. It a lot of people just saying we're talking about how he sang beyond his years.
And the thing with both Judy Garland and Michael Jackson, there were, and I have to say the word alleged,
yep,
episodes of abuse.
Yeah, that's right.
In Michael's life,
yeah.
And in Judy Garland's life.
Yeah.
They faced
a lot of abuse. Yeah.
Yeah.
From their family or from their parents and stuff.
And in Michael Jackson's world, within the family, primarily.
Morgan, what about the rest of the Jackson family? We never heard anything about them.
Yes, we did.
Oh, we did? Okay.
Jermaine Jackson stayed with Motown when the rest of the family moved to Epic Records because Jermaine married Berry Gordy, the head of Motown, married his daughter Hazel, and that caused unpleasant feelings with Joe Jackson, the father of the Jackson Five. He had 9 children, three girls and 9
6 boys.
Let me start again.
3 and 6
and 6 boys. Yes, 3 and 6.
Yeah, there were 9 Jacksons.
There were 9 Jacksons. And as far as Judy Garland is mentioned, she had to deal with the casting couch younger than 16, because she was 16 when she played Little Dorothy Gale from Kansas. And that casting couch was much more omnipresent in the 30s, 40s, and 50s than we've heard about with Harvey Weinstein over the past 15, 20, 30 years. And they got away with murder.
Yep.
The owners of the movie studios, the director, the producers, and Judy, unfortunately, was put right in the crosshairs of some of that activity.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any sense, Morgan, of how Janet Jackson fits into the Jackson thing? Because Janet, when her stuff came out, well after Michael Jackson, you know, sort of, you know, finished his thing, was, you know, talked about, I'm in control of my own life and all of that stuff about, in many ways, a lot more hard edged than Michael's stuff was. And it seems to me she almost blazed her own trail to sort of run away from the family name. That's what
she did. She, at a very young age, she was inserted in the TV show Good Times.
Penny.
Yep. She was on that TV series for like 2 or 3 years. And they used her in another incarnation on Different Strokes.
Yeah, she played Willis's girlfriend.
As a love interest of
Charlene.
Todd Bridges' character. And then she got involved with some of the more important writers and producers of music, Jimmy Jam and Terry
Lewis.
Yes, Terry Lewis. Thank you. And they produced her 2 monster albums that she had in the mid
Control and Rhythm Nation.
Yes. You guys are good. You guys are good. And it's funny because I met the Jacksons on 2 occasions. In 1975, they were playing at the MGM Grand Hotel, and they had shtick where the last song, Dancing Machine, was played. They pulled audience members up that were sitting ringside. I was fortunate enough to be sitting there, and I got pulled up, and I was dancing on the stage with the Jackson 5 as the curtain comes down. Michael disappeared. He knew that everyday people like myself wanted to at least shake hands and say hello. The other brothers did. And then 3 or 4 years ago, the other brothers played North Shore Music Theater. And I was able to go, and I'm a good friend with Bill Haney. So I got to meet the brothers that played. And there was Randy, Marlon,
Beto.
Jackie and Tito. Those were the ones, yes.
So of the 6 boys, which one wasn't in the Jackson 5?
Randy was not in the Jackson 5 because he was too young. But by the time Jermaine left, roughly 6 years into the group's existence, Randy was now old enough, and they seamlessly incorporated him right into the group, never missing a step.
Guys, you have a little over a minute.
Okay. Got one more shot if anybody wants to raise their hand.
Sorry.
Minutes ago.
Not enough time for that.
No, so, okay. But very quickly, Janet wasn't part of that show, right?
No.
So she was part of the show I saw in 1975.
Right, but I'm talking about the most recent one.
No.
Yeah.
They long ago had separate performances, but Janet and Randy in 1975 did a quick Sonny and Cher bit on stage then with the Jackson 5.
She must have been about 8 at the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Precocious. What are you going to do?
Well, we're out of time, Morgan, unfortunately, but this has been a fun show. We got to do this again later on if you'd like.
Let me know. We'll set it up.
This is great. We covered a lot of territory. Thanks, everybody, for your participation in our show today as well. Thanks, Cindy. Thanks, Chanel.
And may I thank all of you for having me on, and we'll do it again whenever.
It was a real pleasure. I'm Bob Branco. Go safe with God's abundant blessings, everybody. Have a nice week. We'll see you next week.